Somewhere out there, I'm George Norrie. Until next time, be safe, my friends. And then I know it's my turn, and it has been that way for almost a decade here at WBT. But today, between the hours of 9 and 10, and I have no idea when he's sleeping, but he agreed to do this, so I didn't ask any more questions than that. George Norrie, the host of Coast to Coast AM, thank you for agreeing to join us on WBT this morning, sir.
Oh, my pleasure, and I had to stay awake after my show because I was afraid I'd never wake up in time.
Well, I wondered, and in a general sense, I mean, you host a nationally syndicated overnight talk radio show, and you have for years, and I don't know what kind of day that how do you maneuver in a day-to-day or day-to-night period? I mean, what's your schedule like?
I get by on about 5 hours of sleep every night. I don't know how I do it, but my body's conditioned for that. And, you know, I'm in either in Los Angeles or St. Louis broadcasting the program. Mm-hmm. And so after the show is done, let's say at 4 o'clock in the morning Central Time, I'll get to sleep until about 9 o'clock in the morning and pop up and then start my day again, prepping the show, getting ready for the night's program, and taking some time off in between, and then back on the air at midnight. And I've been doing that for going on 18 years now.
So it is consecutive sleep that you get then?
Yes.
Well, that's good, because yes. People always ask me, and I say that I get up early, but then I'm comparing myself to most people with nine-to-fivers, not people like George Norrie. But I say, I'm not a good napper. If I nap, that nap wants to turn into several hours, and that just messes up my whole day. So I've never been a napper, and a lot of people kind of roll their eyes when I say that. But it really is true. I have to sleep consecutive hours, or it really doesn't give me the sleep that I need.
And what's so fun about being on WBT with you, Bo, is I'm your warm-up act.
No, quite the opposite. I'm your post-game show is what it is. But you are synonymous with my daily circadian rhythm, right? I mean, I hear you, and I don't hear the entire show, because if I did, that mean I'd have no sleep. But I hear the back end of your show every day. And your show, as it's been in existence, I mean, George, I was looking at the numbers of this, and people remember the name Art Bell, of course, in the early days on this radio station and across the country. But the Coast to Coast AM brand, when this began, and I know you've evolved it to a large degree since you've been hosting it, since you took over for Art Bell, but this brand, I mean, there aren't many syndicated overnight shows, period, out there.
No, and, you know, this continues to be a very strong program, Bo, all around the country. We're in 625 markets now, and that means different cities in North America, which includes Canada. And it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And, you know, one of the things I think that has made Coast to Coast so successful is our incredible listenerships. I mean, when we get calls from, like, Charlotte, North Carolina, we get calls from people who are dedicated listeners to your radio station, to our program, and they know what they're calling about. And as a host, you better be ready, because, you know, these listeners are smart people. They study, they read, they listen, they watch, and they're ready to go. And they have made this program what it is today.
Well, and you have a unique situation, because when I'm on the air, I was thinking about this driving in today, listening to the end of your show. When I'm on the air, for the majority of the time I'm here, I'm on for five hours every day, but the majority of my time is talking to a commuter audience and people who are listening to me, but probably, you know, packing the kids' lunch at the same time, or they're multitasking. And so I know that I have them, but I may not have their full attention. And I'm sure you think about this often, or have over the years, but when you are talking to your audience, the audience that you have for the most part overnight, I would think, is in a different mode than mine is, and probably you have more of their undivided attention than I do.
Ours are all kinds of folks. They're either police officers, security officers, truck drivers, people working from home, people at home. It just runs the gamut. It's incredible. We have installed the new technology, Bo, which allows me to see my listeners mm-hmm. with a touch of a button, and all I see is the back of feet every morning.
I was about to say, does that mean that you've seen Barry from Rock Hill then?
Sometimes we, unfortunately, no, he's a great guy.
Well, he. It's funny. I knew Barry would come up, and when I started doing the show, we have callers that call the back end, like in the 9 o'clock hour, they call a comment line every now and then. And when we instituted that comment line, this guy Barry from Rock Hill called almost every day, and I got to know his voice, a very nice man, and had very kind things and constructive things to say. And then one day, I was listening, you know, on the front end, sitting here in the studio, getting my notes together, listening to the end of your show, and I heard that voice. And you know how you hear a voice, and it's out of oh, yeah, that's Barry. Wait a minute. That's Barry calling Coast to Coast. And so we have listeners that start, that end with you or are with you overnight and then are back with me at 9 a.m. And to your point, George, when you have a show that's been around as long as yours has and a station, this station turns 100 years old next year, the loyalty of the listeners, no matter the time of day and sometimes multiple day parts, is it never ceases to amaze me.
I got to tell you, the first time we met Barry in person, Tom, my producer, and I were in Asheville, and we had a live stage show, which we put on pre-COVID. We were putting on about four or five a year. And so the theater's starting to get filled up before the show starts. And I'm kind of peeking behind the curtain, looking out, you know, how many people are there? Are they filling up? When do we start? And Tom's looking, and all of a sudden we see this guy in the front of the stage dancing all by himself. He's just wiggling around, and his hands are up and down. And I said, Tom, we got a drunk. We got to get him taken care of and get him out or something. And Tom says, yeah, you're right. So he called security, and they kind of wandered up to this guy who's standing in the front of the stage dancing and wiggling and all excited. And it turned out to be Barry, who was not drunk. It was just him having a good time.
He was drunk with excitement because it was George Norrie actually in front of him.
I love it. But he's been a great listener and a great fan of the show and a great friend, too. And he has probably told you, or he will. He apparently has patented a phrase, which he'll tell you what it is, and he claims that every time I say it, I owe him $20.
Well, I guarantee you, he'll probably be calling us right now to tell me this. Hey, and you mentioned the Asheville trip. You've been to the Diana Wortham Theater there for the George Norrie Live show, and I want to talk about that and maybe when that might be coming back. And, you know, post-COVID, I want to talk to you. Also want to tell you a story about my own interaction with you, and it really made an impression on me, almost 20 years ago, as to the kind of guy you are and why I think you've been as successful as you have been, as I've watched people in radio, people who are nationally syndicated and well-known, operate, and I was always very impressed about it. So there's a tease for the next segment. George Norrie, the host of Coast to Coast AM, is with us here on WBT, going to be here with us for the hour. Back. My guest this morning is the legendary George Norrie, the host of Coast to Coast AM. Lucky enough to have him spend an hour with me here this morning on WBT. George, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, Bo, my pleasure. Looking forward to it. We've got another great program tonight, but when your program director and you got a hold of me and said, hey, would you do this hour? I went, yeah, sure, what time? And Mike Schaefer said, well, about 9 o'clock Eastern time, and I went, oh, okay.
Well, let me, before I have, as you might have expected, I have a caller on the line. But before I go to him, I mentioned this heading into the break. I've been working here since 1990. I've been working here since high school, George.
That's great.
And when I was a kid, essentially, one of the jobs I had, and I loved this job, but one of the things I did every year around the holidays was I produced Christmas and holiday programming that would run on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day so that everybody could have time off. And what I would do is, long story short, go around and interview all the personalities here, ask them what they wanted for Christmas, what their Christmas traditions were, or Hanukkah, or whatever it was, and, you know, favorite holiday song, and then mesh that all together and make a nice little holiday program. And I did it one year with all of the people here in Charlotte. Then the next year, they liked it. They said they wanted more. They wanted it to be longer. So I said, well, maybe I'll get ambitious and start trying to call some of the network hosts that we have. And I did. I reached out to Rush Limbaugh. At the time, we had Dr. Laura. Neil Bortz was on at the time. And I reached out to all these people. Rush Limbaugh, it was very unusual for the late Rush Limbaugh to do any kind of custom things for radio stations. He just had so many people coming at him. But you mentioned at the top of your show, about this show, your show, it's our show, you mentioned that... that you talked about how many affiliates you all have with Coast to Coast, which is just mind-boggling. But when I went down this process with you about 20 years ago, I fired all the emails out. I didn't expect to hear back from really anybody. And you responded to me in less than 10 minutes. And I thought to myself, that is remarkable, because this guy is who he is. He has such a following, all these affiliates, people asking him for things all the time, and yet little old me here in Charlotte, North Carolina, sends you an email, and not only do you respond, but you respond that quickly, and you did you did it exactly what I wanted, and it really made the show. And all these years later, I've taken that with me, and I always think about you, the times that I've had you on the show, and we've talked, but you talk about people who rise to certain degrees of fame, and I know that if I ever got to that point, that's the kind of person I would want to be, the person who still responds to the affiliates and the listeners. And that's why you've had such, I mean, that's not the only reason, but I think it's one of the main reasons why people like you get to where you get, because you never forget how you got there, and you talk to the people that that help get you there.
I was at a event, Bo, several years ago, and a little kid came up to me and he said, can I have your autograph? And I will always remember what happened when I was younger. I was in my 20s, and I was in St. Louis, and the baseball player Barry Bonds was playing the Cardinals with the team he was at. And a little kid came up to him and asked for his autograph on a baseball card. And he said, I'm too busy, kid. And I watched that, and I said, I will never, ever, if I hit it big, turn anybody away from asking anything. And I learned that a long time ago, that you got to just be humble, thankful, and never let it get to your head, because once it does, you'll never be the same. And so I have stayed who I always was, and I'm not going to change.
Well, and I have, as soon as I say that most people that I shouldn't have said that, because I don't think that's necessarily true. Not most people who attain the success that you've had would have that same interaction with people, no matter where you are on the ladder. But I've met some people that fall in that category and some people that do not. But when I come across somebody who gets to a certain level and they treat people like dirt, I remind myself that there are people like you out there, and that's the way to do it. So I thank you all those days many years ago, and then here today in 2021. The fact that you'd spend an hour with me really says a lot about you, so thank you.
Well, you didn't get my invoice yet?
yeah, there it is. The email just came in.
Okay. No, this is a freebie. This is a freebie.
All right, so let's go to line number two, John Moore, and bring on... He needs no introduction based on what we said last segment, but caller, you're from Rock Hill, correct?
That's right.
George, you recognize that voice?
Oh, yes. I'm haunted. No, it's our good buddy Barry from Rock Hill, South Carolina, and this guy is one heck of a guy. And, Bo, I've got to tell you something. Barry, about a month and a half ago, had a stroke, and he just keeps bouncing back. So, Barry, thank God you're still with us.
I tell you what, George Dory, this is some kind of pleasure. Old buddy, old pal, old friend of mine.
And I will be driving in, Barry and George, and I'll hear Barry. And for a minute, like I said, it makes me, okay, wait a minute. Is this 9 a.m. or is this 4 a.m.? Where am I right now? But Barry, I mean, you are a regular listener to that show, and you've been very loyal to me.
I stay up 24 hours a day listening to WBT.
And there it is, right there.
I'm telling you guys, this is absolutely the biggest treat I've ever had in my whole life. My wonderful wife, darn her, she's sound asleep and won't wake her up. But listen, George, I'll tell you what, buddy, Cornelius kind of scared me last night. We won't talk about it right now.
Well, we got him off to the hospital, and I don't know if he's still there or not, but we'll have a report tonight on the show.
Okay, well, Barry, I couldn't imagine doing this hour without you participating, so thank you for calling in, and we've got George for another half hour, so we have lots to talk about.
Thank you, guys. It's an absolute pleasure, and I mean it's all mine. So long, goodbye, and good luck.
I love it. He was making reference to a listener who calls in regularly named Cornelius out of Louisiana, and he called last night, and he went, "Hi, George, how's everything going?" And my producer and Tom, and he's talking to me in my ear, he said, "George, there's something wrong here." So we got him convinced to call the emergency medical folks, and they took him to the hospital. And I think he may still be there, Bo.
This is a guy who calls your show often?
Yeah. And they become family to us.
Right.
And, you know, we care about them. And so we're looking impatiently tonight to try to figure out how the heck the guy is.
Well, we will find out here on WBT. That's the common denominator, and obviously we're all hoping for the best there. When we come back, George, I want to spend a few minutes talking about how you got your start in radio and what it took to get where you are and how that road. Every morning I walk down the hall past the WBT Hall of Fame on the wall, and I see all those legends. And right now I'm talking to a legend. Legend all across the country, and he's been on this radio station for many years, since 2003, as host of Coast to Coast AM. And you hear that on WBT and across the country, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. Eastern each weeknight. And George Norrie is my guest here this morning. George, again, thanks for being here.
Bo, I can't believe how much time has gone by over these 18 years. Just flies by, doesn't it?
It does. And so 18 years doing that. But let's roll back a minute here. I love when I have people like you on the show, and I'm the resident archivist around here. So I'm the guy who can tell you anything about WBT history and people that have been on this station in a local sense. But I don't know the George Norrie story as far as where the broadcasting bug began and what you did before you were on the air. How about that backstory, at least the version we can tell right here?
Let's go back all the way to the beginning, all the way back to the beginning, where I'm 11 years old, and I never got sick, hardly missed school, but I woke up, and I'm bouncing in on the ceiling looking down at my body. 11 years old, I'm in bed. And I'm going, what the heck is this? And all of a sudden, it slammed myself back into my body, and I woke up. I thought it was a dream. I went to the library and found out that I had an astral projection at 11 years old. And I went, wow, this was weird. And then my mother brought me home a book by Walter Sullivan, who was at the time the New York science writer for the New York Times. And the book had to deal with We Are Not Alone, about extraterrestrial life. And I was hooked, and I couldn't stop. And I decided at that young age that I wanted to be a broadcaster, because a broadcaster could get to these people and interview them. People would listen to a broadcaster. If just George Norrie called and said, hey, tell me about this UFO story or this, they probably wouldn't talk to me. But if I were a broadcaster, they would be more than willing to talk to me. And so I decided at that young age I wanted to go into broadcasting. Now I'm 18 years old. I'm applying to colleges, and I get accepted because my dad kept pushing me to become a dentist, because my family, he wasn't, but my family was full of dentists, my cousins and relatives like that. So I went to the University of Detroit and did 2 years of pre-dent, and I'm going, gosh, I just don't want to be a dentist. I miss broadcasting. And a friend of mine was in the broadcast curriculum at the University of Detroit. And he said, George, I want to go home to Cleveland for Christmas, but I'm working at a TV station part-time here, and they won't let me go unless I can find somebody to replace me. Would you do it for me? And I went, heck yeah. So in I go, and they decided they loved me. They decided to keep me and him when he came back from Christmas. And so I got my first job when I was 19 at a television station in Detroit. And then I started going up the ladder a little bit at a time. Well, there was a radio news director by the name of Joe Vaughn, who was working at the radio station that the TV station owned. It was an ABC-owned affiliate in Detroit. And he called me in one day. He knew I wanted a on-air job. And he said, "Hey, George, I want to record something for you, and I want you to read this copy for me." And I went, "Okay, Mr. Vaughn, sure." So I did it, and he said, "George, I'd like you to do it again. Do it a little faster." And I went, "Oh, okay, okay." And I recorded it, and he said, "That's pretty good. That's a good tape." And I looked at him, and I said, "Did I get the job, Mr. Vaughn?" And he went, "George, there is no job. I want to get you a tape so you can go get one." And so he gave me this tape. I peddled it around, and a news director from WCAR Radio in Detroit at the time calls me up, and he says, "I got a reporter's job open for you. I know you're still, you know, got two more years to go at the university level," because I had switched my major, and I'll tell you that story in a second. But he said, "I got this job. It pays $149 a week, and you're a full-time radio reporter. Do you want the job?" And I went, "Absolutely." So my first job was a radio reporter. I'm 21 years old. And then I switched my major into broadcasting because that's what I wanted my degree in. Well, the card, the report cards would always come to your parents, not you.
Right.
And my dad got it, and he called me into the living room one day, and he said, "George, I got to talk to you about something. We got a little issue here with the university." And I went, "What's wrong?" And he said, "Well, some kid is getting A's in all these broadcast courses, but there's no science and chemistry and biology from you, from your dental stuff. Something's wrong." And I went, "Dad, I switched my major." Bo, he wouldn't talk to me for 2 months. And one day, he's watching that television newscast that I'm working for, and all of a sudden, my name pops up, and he sees it. And so I come home, and he calls me into the living room again, and he said, "Was that your name I saw?" And I went, "Yeah, Dad." And he went, "Wow, that's great." After that, he loved it.
On board. Big fan. Now, I do have a question about... You told us the story about how you started your interest in radio or maybe even broadcasting, but initially it was a visit to the library to learn about what had just happened to you as a kid, that experience that you had. Now, what you've told me here is one thing I did not know. I wondered about the period of time between your starting point and the type of show that you do right now, which a lot of times deals with the unexplained and the paranormal, and sometimes the subject matter gets out of the mainstream. Now, you always had that interest, but you just established for us that you had a period of time in the middle part of your career where you worked very much at a regular mainstream news-gathering radio or TV station.
Absolutely, except once... My very first radio interview was with the late Stanton Friedman, and I'll tell you about synchronicity here. And there was a little clip in a Detroit newspaper that said, "Ufologist Stanton Friedman, he was a scientist, is going to be speaking here before a group of college people and business people at a university." And I said to my news director, I said, "You know, John, can I cover this?" And he went, "Not on my time, it's on your dime." And so I went there, interviewed Stanton Friedman, brought it back, put it on the air. We had a great response. Nobody dealt with UFO stories on radio stations in those days. And we did all that. And just jumping ahead, so he was my first radio interview, Stanton Friedman. A couple of years ago in Columbus, Ohio, I'm doing another live stage show, and Stanton was one of my guests. We stayed friends. And after the interview was done, he was going back home to Canada. He died of a heart attack at the airport. I was his last interviewee and interviewer, and he was my first guest ever.
Wow.
It's a strange synchronicity.
That's remarkable.
Still gives me chills.
Yeah, I can understand why. We have one more segment with you, and I knew this would go fast. I want to talk when we come back about the show that's coming up tonight and the show in 2021. But I also want to ask you another important question that I ask people like you when I talk to them, and that's influences. People that influenced you, whether it's in or out of the business. But, you know, I'm always curious when you when I started listening to the radio, people who have listened to me here in Charlotte know that I often will bring up names like Casey Kasem and locally here a guy named Henry Bogan. As far as influences, I'm curious, who are the voices that George Norrie heard that made him want to do this and maybe that still inspire you today? We'll talk about that and more. One more segment with George Norrie, the host of Coast to Coast AM. You hear him weeknights, overnights, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. here on WBT and all across the nation and around the world. The one and only George Norrie, host of Coast to Coast AM across the country and beamed around the world, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. Eastern. Weeknights here on WBT. George, you know, it just occurred to me, we had Barry from Rock Hill, one of your devoted callers and one of our devoted callers here too, listeners, last half hour, and we never heard the phrase that you said Barry said that he gave to you.
He always says when he calls, my old buddy, my pal, my friend of mine.
Oh, okay. So he did. I just didn't know which one it was. There it is. Okay. Well, and you say that from time to time without Barry?
Once in a blue moon, and then he'll call me up and say, you owe me $20 for that.
There you go. I want to ask you, and I alluded to this heading into the break, but influences in your broadcasting career, somebody who gets to the level that you get to, there have to be people along the way, and maybe people that are out there right now that do what you do and made you want to be that guy.
Three people. Walter Cronkite, former CBS News television anchor. Paul Harvey, who I thought was a great writer and speaker. And then a fellow by the name of Guy Gibson. Guy worked with me in Detroit at the first radio station I worked at. And he honed my skills. I used to call in field reports and things like that. And he'd make me rewrite it and rewrite it. And for a couple of years, Bo, I couldn't stand the guy. I mean, I hated him. I mean, he practically put me in tears. But then one day, I realized all he wants me to do is be good at what I do. And we got to know each other. He passed on. He died in Dallas, Texas a few years ago. But those three people, Cronkite, Paul Harvey, and I met both of them, and then my buddy Guy Gibson, who passed away.
You know, there are people that come through our lives. I can think of several people as I'm talking to you right now that during the time you worked with them, maybe you weren't your favorite person to work with, but they got you to a standard, and maybe in years later you realized how much of an actual positive force they were on your career. But I'm on this station every day, and I can tell you every time I open a microphone or hit the on button, I wonder if I'm rising to the standard of those certain people that helped me get here.
Well, you sure are. You own Charlotte, my friend, and your career has been remarkable as well. And the fact that you've been at that station since your beginning is just fantastic.
George, in this 2021, and by the way, I as soon as I said that, that sounded like I was hoping that you would say something nice, and I didn't mean it that way. I appreciate everything that you said, but I really do. When I open up the microphone, I hear voices in my head, and after I do a segment, I think to myself, what would he have said about that? And I actually think that's important for anybody doing anything. You need those voices to help you stay on the straight and narrow, right? But I appreciate what you said more than you'll ever know, and just the very fact that you're on the show right now means the world to me. I think I've made that clear this hour. But I want to talk about where you are in 2021. If my math is correct, you've been doing Coast to Coast longer than Art Bell did at this point, right?
I sure have. We are into our 18th year, and we're going to just keep going and going and going. As you know, too, Bo, we're live on holidays. We don't run tapes. And there was a pledge I made to our listeners a long time ago. There are a lot of lonely people on holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, New Year's Eve. And I said, if a regular show falls on my scheduled workday, Monday through Friday, then maybe the first Sunday of every month that I'm on, we're going to be live. And if it's not me, it's going to be one of our weekend hosts. We're not running tapes on weekends. People interact with radio shows. And I don't want somebody to be alone on a holiday. And so, you know, we've been doing that too. But we're into our 18th year, and God willing, we're going to keep going until one day we go to a commercial break and my producer, Tom Danheiser, comes on the air and says, George isn't with us anymore. That's how I want to go out.
Well, I was listening to you on the way in this morning, doing a little show prep, more so than normal. I mean, I listened to you to hear what's going on and what your take on things is. But today, obviously, knowing that you were going to be a guest, I was listening even more intently. And you were talking to a caller. Wasn't Barry, but it was one of your callers that I could tell was someone that called frequently enough that you knew who he was. And it just struck me, one of the things that make you who you are is that you know how to listen. It's one thing to be able to talk, and anybody who's listened to this show for the last hour, you hear your voice and just incredibly articulate, and you understand why you've had the success that you've had, but you have to be able to listen. And some callers get to a certain level, or even an entry level, and they get on the air, and they treat the callers as if they're just minions, and they cut them off, and they won't let, you know, give me 30 seconds, go! And if you don't say it in the time I want you to, I'm going to cut you off. And you, on a national scale, even, you know, worldwide scale, you have the ability to listen and let people say their piece, and it makes them feel, you know, the self-worth increases. You can hear it on the air, and it's just one of the things that you've always done so well. And I know I'm not the first person to tell you this, but it really is an art that I think gets forgotten a lot in this business.
It's something that's just very important. You have to listen to what they're saying before you can ask them a question or react to them. And I use a simple little guide. When you meet someone for the first time, how many people forget who they just met when they walk away? They go, what was that person's name? Train yourself to learn who that person is. Learn that name, and you'll see what changes for you in terms of that.
Well, I hear this theme, and for once, it doesn't mean I'm about to start. It means I'm about to finish with George Norrie on the Bo Thompson Morning Show. George, real quick, what's coming up tonight?
We're going to talk about synchronicity. We're going to talk about dogs that have changed people's lives in a very mystical way. And I'm going to bed, Bo.
Well, before you go to bed, do me a favor. On my show here one time, give me the George Norrie send-off so I feel like I'm finished.
Folks, have a great day.
See, you're not used to saying that one, are you?
That's right.
Hey, George, sweet dreams, and thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Bo.